Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, where we walk by faith and not by sight through the process and through a place where God has already preordained and destined our lives, the place where we are made, we're shaped, where we're encouraged, empowered, the place where we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where we learn of Him, we see Him and the demonstration of His power in our lives, and as we do, we see the manifestation of His glory, of His word, His life, His will, like never before. This place and this process is not a call or a title, so to speak. It's not a position, but it's a call to love God, to know Him, to serve Him, to show Him, and to give that same love, that same light to someone else. Process is where we die and we become more like Him. He lives. He arises in us. And God uses us, our everyday life, our everyday processes, our everyday troubles to stretch us, to make us, to prove us, to refine us. He uses these places to allow us to trust Him, to see Him as God, to know that He will not fail us, His word will not fail. And this ongoing process will continue until the day that He comes or the day that we go to sleep. And we meet Him. But this process is a process of allowing God to be God in us. God chooses ordinary people for His glory, for His plan and His purpose. And it's a wonderful, marvelous thing because He chooses people that other people would never choose. But He chooses them and calls them and uses them for His glory. So it's a wonderful thing to be called by God, be in God's kingdom, to know that He's your Father because you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that your sins are forgiven, and that He has written your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and now He's just not Savior, He's Lord. So you now go from just Him not saving you, He's the Lord of your life. He is the one that you live for, and He's the one that guides you, and He's the one who makes you and shapes you. So it is a wonderful, wonderful experience. We have been looking in this 15-minute empowerment that encourages your walk of faith and your stand of faith and obedience. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessings where we see God show up in places that it seems as if God is not even there, that He's not going to show up, that it's His word and His will for our lives and that situation and season of our life is not even anywhere near what He says. But He shows up in that unlikely place to perform a miracle, to do something mighty, to do something that no one else can do so that He can get the glory, honor, and praise. And it blesses not only you and your household, but it blesses people around you, the nation, as we see the people that God has used from Esther to David to Abraham. We see that the blessing goes beyond where they are to a nation. And when God chooses a person, a family, a tribe, or a nation for His glory, nothing and no one can stop or refute what He's going to do. So you've been chosen for something, purposed for something great, and God is going to get the glory out of your life. So we're looking and finishing up the book of Ruth today. Next week, if the Lord would say so, we are going to start a series on faith. And so we're going to start that series and as we're ending the unlikely places of blessing, where we've seen God demonstrate His power and show up in such a way that encourages us that no matter where we find ourselves, God can show up and do the miraculous. The same God yesterday, today, and forevermore, that if He did it for the ones that we read about, study about in the Word of God, He will do it for us. Our faith says nothing's impossible to them that believe, and without faith it's impossible to please God. So we know that our faith is valuable, and the enemy, if he can get us to doubt anything concerning our faith, then he has us. But if we hope thou in God, we will see the demonstration of His power in our life like never before. We're here in this book, and we're finishing up in Ruth, and we see that Naomi knew that Boaz was going to harvest, and she knew that he was going to be there all night long, and that he was going to be there working and protecting the harvest that he had. And Naomi gave Ruth specific instructions, and she had to follow these instructions. She told her to get a bath, put on perfume, and wear your nice clothes. And the nice clothes that she was wearing were outer garments, garments that would only be worn for specific or special occasions. And so it was not enough that Naomi desired that Ruth was going to get married again, Ruth had to act and follow the instructions that was going to lead to her victory and her possession of what she desired and what her mother-in-law desired, because she did want to be married again. She did want that security and so that protection that covenant brings. And so she followed and did what was necessary. And this is true for anything in life. It's not just covenant relationship. It's on our jobs and our ministries and our communities with our family. God will give us instructions, and we have to follow those instructions. He not only gives us the desires of our heart, but we have to follow the leading of what he's telling us. So we see that she does what she's told. She goes down to the threshing floor, and she's instructed not to let anyone see her till Boaz has finished himself his supper, and she knows where he's getting ready to go to sleep, and notice where he's going to go to sleep at, lay there, uncover his feet, and Boaz will basically understand what she's doing after that. Now, you have to understand that the removing of Boaz's outer garments of his feet and lying down and touching his feet boldly with an act of submission, and this called for a decision on Boaz's part to be Ruth's protector and her husband. And she was making that statement that she was uncovering something that was personal, private. And she was saying, I want to be intimate with you. I want to be in covenant with you. I want to be submitted unto you. Now, Ruth did everything that she was told to do because she understood that by following her mother-in-law's instructions, the one who knew the customs and the time, even though she was a foreigner, she knew that her mother-in-law knew more about what was proper and what was needed so that she can get what she wanted. Now, Boaz was going to make sure that Ruth was not going to be embarrassed, and he wanted to protect her. So even though this act happened, even though she did this, he didn't want anybody to see her leaving and to make embarrassment happen. So he told her, don't leave until this time. But it also was a protection for Boaz, because if, just in case he did not want to marry her, his reputation was protected as well. So it was a twofold thing. Boaz was older than Ruth, and when he tells her, you know, that he's thankful that she considers him because she could have married or went after someone else younger, he understood that she's taking a chance on being with a man that is older, because there might be a possibility that he may not be able to have children and that he might get sick and her life may not be as fulfilling as it is with someone who is much younger. So he basically praises her and applauds her for her personal desire to be married to him or to want him, and that he basically was going to take care of all the duties that was necessary for this process to happen. So he reassures her in this. He lets her know, I'm going to handle everything. She leaves the threshing floor, and when she leaves it, she makes sure that she is not seen by anyone. Boaz reassures her that he's going to marry her or take up the responsibility of making things sure that things happen. And there was a process that needed to go forward. It's not as like it is today. They would go to the gate of the city, and this is where all the elders basically met, and this is where a king, during times of kings, if they were going to pronounce judgment on someone, it would be at the gate of the city. That was where everybody got the news from things. This is where decisions were made. This was where business was handled. So this is where everybody went. And so the men would go there, and anything that needed to be discussed or anything needed to be done, anything needed to be purchased or bought, any argument, anything like that was going to be handled there. And so he goes there. He reassures Ruth that he would demonstrate loyal love again and kindness again, and that he's going to do what needed to be done. He goes there, and he finds any of the closest relatives, and he begins to tell them. He buys the field first. He buys the field, and during this time when someone was in poverty or something and they had lost their field and products, if they had to go into slavery or if they had a property that was stolen, was sold because of poverty, paying debts, then in 50 years, a year of Jubilee, then that property would have been given back to that individual and slaves would have been released.
This was because they believed that the property was God's and it belonged to God, so they were giving it back to that individual. He goes to the gate. The first individual that he speaks to about marrying, about the property, and about marrying Ruth and taking care of Naomi, he did not want to do it. He wanted the property, but he did not want the responsibility, double responsibility of taking care of Ruth and Naomi. He didn't want that, and he did not want that property to go to Ruth be in and go to the heirs. That would not be his, because as their custom was, when they married someone and their husband died, that first child would carry on the lineage, the name of the person who died. So many people did not want to take that chance because they may not have any more children by that person or may not have a male. And so some of them did not want to take that chance. So they wanted to make sure that their name, their lineage was always carried on. And so whenever Boaz presented this to the first closest relative, he did not want this. So Boaz then in return steps up to the plate. He begins to take responsibility for everything that needs to be taken care of as far as Ruth and Naomi and the property, and he did this because he wanted it. He was willing to pay the price. So when this happens, when all of these things happen, after and at the end, we see that they are married and that Boaz marries Ruth. He sleeps with her, and she gives him a son, and that the son basically is a blessing not only to Ruth, but is a blessing to Naomi, because Naomi now has pleasure again. She has passion again because for life and for her lineage, because her lineage did not die. Her daughter-in-law now carries on the lineage of her husband and her son because of this first male child. And God was in play in all of this because this is the lineage of Obed, which is Jesse's and David's. It's the lineage of David and all of these individuals that are in the line of David and the throne that God is establishing. So God was in himself setting up something that no man could set up, and he was doing it through Ruth and her obedience. And he did it in an unlikely way because she herself was a no man. She was a foreigner, and she married a Hebrew. And in doing so and in obligating herself even after he was dead to Naomi, God blessed her and honored her and set her in line to be a blessing, not only to her mother-in-law, but to the nation, because she begets the seed that's going to set up David that God wanted to use and use in the earth so that his son would sit on the throne of David. God was setting it up, and it didn't look like it was a blessing. It didn't look like it was going to be a blessing. It didn't look like it was going to turn out right, because here it is, the father dies and the two sons. But God wanted to do something special. He did not want Obed to come through the lineage that he came through Naomi's family lineage. He wanted to do something else, and he wanted to engraft something else in. And by doing this, not only is Boaz coming in and being the kinsman redeemer and showing Jesus Christ and showing how he's redeemed us and how he's wiped away our sins and paid the price for us, Naomi, through her going back, and Ruth, through her submission, blesses the life of Boaz as well. Boaz now has laughter in his spirit, a woman who loves him and submits to him. And everyone in the end basically is blessed because of one decision. Your decisions may not look like much to you, but they are a blessing or will be a blessing to someone else in your life, in your family, or someone else on the outside. So you have to make sure that you follow what God is saying, that you're not ruled by your emotions, as I said before, but you follow the plan of God. And even in hard decisions, you allow God's will to be done over yours. God is God, and he knows what he's doing. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Have a blessed and wonderful worship experience. We'll be back next week for another empowerment. Have a great and fantastic Father's Day weekend. God bless you.